What's up, good people? This is your host, Neil Real, and this is the Apostate Apple broadcast. Today we're talking about why the church hates sex so much. And basically it comes from Gnosticism. They had some weird beliefs about the physical and the spiritual, and how the spirit was better than the physical, and one was bad and one was good. And so we're going to get into that. But before we do that, okay, we're back. So let's talk about it. Why does the church, the Christian church, the Catholics, anybody that's Christian have an issue with sex outside of marriage? Why is that sinful? Well, let's start with some history. First of all, we need to understand that some think Christianity was always what it was in the past, but it wasn't. Like most religions, it evolved. So Christianity came out of Gnosticism, right? Gnostics or Gnosticism comes from the word gnosis, which means knowledge. So it was a group of people who were into knowledge, and these people got their information from the Greeks, who got their information from the Egyptians or the ancient Kemetic people. So the ancient Kemetic people talked the Greeks. The Greeks were a part of the Egyptian empire for a while, for several centuries, and then they began to teach. And then there were groups like the Gnostics that were formed. And from there, out of Gnosticism came Christianity. And then Christianity, like all religions, tend to diss all the other religions, even though they came from them. So around the 4th century, Christianity split from the Gnostics, with the Catholic Church as the promoter of the belief system that they had. And that at that point, they invented Jesus, because Jesus at that point was not a real person. He was a concept, a spiritual concept that we can all become like Christ, that we have Christ in us and all that kind of stuff. These were the beliefs prior to that. But then it became a real thing. And then the Bible came about, and a lot of the ideas were now history. You know, all these characters and all the stuff that happened in the Bible, these were now real people. These are real events now. But they actually originally were allegories and concepts. So over time, the Gnostics lost their original understanding of the spirit's connection to the physical. And so they got caught up all into the spiritual. All right. The spirit is great. The spirit is awesome. We all need to ascend to the spiritual realm. But the physical is dark. It's evil. This physical body is prone to illnesses and sicknesses. And it's a curse on the soul, basically. And they had a belief, the Gnostics, they had this belief that we were trapped in the physical body, and that somehow we needed to get free, and that it was just a curse to us, you know, to be in this physical body, and that the world that we lived in was a world of suffering and misery. And why would anybody want to come here? Why would anybody want to be here? And they mentioned a character called the Demiurge that put us here as prisoners, and that somehow we need to figure out how to ascend so that we can get out of this place and not come back. And so this is some of their beliefs, these Gnostics. And so when the topic of sex came around, they said, well, why would we want to procreate? Because procreation would bring more people here. We don't want to bring people here. This place is evil. It's a jail cell. Why would we procreate and bring somebody here? So they started talking about not having sex. Nobody should have sex. Now, prior to that, because they looked at the body, you know, the physical existence was a curse to the soul, as they would say, it would corrupt the soul. This is where original sin came from, the fall of man, total depravity, these different doctrines that you hear from the Calvinists and even from Baptists and other denominations. You'll hear these doctrines. This is where it came from, Gnosticism. Once again, Christianity came from Gnosticism, okay? And so this idea of being sinful from birth, as I talked about in previous messages, all this negativity about you being, you know, just a sinful person from day one, your flesh is evil. They're talking about your physical body being evil and that it's prone to sin. And that's where, you know, this hatred for sex came from. And there was a sect within the Gnostics that believed this, and they were called the Inquirinism. It was called Inquirinism. So when the church emerged out of the Gnostics, they took these beliefs with them. All right. So there was a church, early church father by the name of Irenaeus, and he believed that sex of any kind was evil. So outside of inside marriage, it didn't matter. Any kind of relationship with sex is evil. Masturbation, anything. So this is where they started in the Catholic Church to forbid priests and nuns, people who were serving in the church. They are now forbidden to have sex or even get married. So that's why they had to take that vow of celibacy, because somebody said long ago that sex was evil because that causes people to be brought into this world. Later on, another church father by the name of Clement, he was a little bit more modern, because always people start complaining about stuff like this. And he said, oh, it's okay. You can have sex just within marriage. And he had a belief that he got from another Gnostic leader called Valentinus. Now, Valentinus is where we get the word Valentine from. And Valentinus taught that creation was made through the gods having sex. And so marriage is a good thing because it's a reflection or a mirror of what the gods did to create us. Okay? This is his belief. And so marriage from that point on became sacred, and that got integrated into the church. So you can't have sex outside of marriage, but only within the marriage. And now marriage is sacred. Now, prior to this, marriage wasn't a big deal. You didn't have to get your marriage licensed or, you know, sanctioned by the state or ushered in by a priest. But that's how we do it today. You got to go sign some paperwork. You don't have to do any of this stuff, by the way. But most people, they think they have to. They go down to the state. They register their relationship with some strangers. And then when they get married, there's a priest or a pastor having them recite vows. This big old sacred event. It just didn't used to be that way. So church made marriage sacred because they made it out to be something that was a mirror to the gods creating us. So that's where it came from. But they still had these hangups about sex. So, and let me just say this. This is where you get that whole thing where marriage is a mirror to Christ, you know, marrying the church. And so when a man loves a woman, it's like Christ loving the church. So the church is considered a woman in the Bible, and the man is considered Christ. And so, you know, these are where some of these concepts come from. All right. Now, at this point, sex outside of marriage is still considered fornication, evil, and they would shame everybody for getting into it. Anybody who was, you know, involved in that would be considered a bad person. They'd be considered people that's on their way to hell if they didn't stop. So a lot of people started to develop shame and guilt around just having a sexual desire for somebody else and wanting to express that. Prior to the church and these Gnostics, nobody was tripping about sex. And mind you, these came from Europeans, by the way. Okay. The Europeans were the main ones that had an issue with sex, these Gnostics. And these are the ones that they put these weird beliefs out. And now you got millions of people for centuries suffering, you know, at the hands of sexual repression and all this other stuff. All because these guys believe that somehow the physical world was filthy and this physical body was filthy, and that we all should be spiritual and just ascend and not live here on this plane of existence. Okay. So that's how sex became evil and dirty. It gets worse because the Catholic Church began to work on that concept. And I'm going to show you some more information, but this is where marriage became sacred. You know, this is a big deal. That's why there's a woman wearing a white dress that represents virginity and purity. All of that stuff is Gnostic related. That's where it comes from. So back to Valentinus, because he said something about sex and gods, people still had an issue with him. They didn't like the idea of God having sex with other gods. They also didn't, there were multiple gods. So Christian religion teaches that there's one God, but they're united. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the idea of them having sex, they still got this issue with sex. So they're, no, he does not have sex. This is not sexual. He didn't have sex to create the earth. He did not do that. That's nasty. That's foul. So anybody who would suggest today that the world came about because of gods having sex is considered a satanic person, a person that's sinful, sacrilegious. They're evil. They're wicked for saying that. Now, I want to be clear that the Egyptians never believed any of this Gnostic foolishness. And they never had an issue with sex. They never told people sex was evil. You shouldn't bring anybody into this world. So this never came from the Egyptians. These were concepts that were passed down from the Egyptians to the Greeks, to the Gnostics, where the Gnostics kind of screwed them up. The Gnostics lost their connection to the original text, I would say, and just started to think on their own and make up concepts based off of their pessimistic view of reality. Their reality was they were seeing suffering around and they were seeing all this shit going on. And they're saying this world is fucked up. You know, who would want to be here? And they got a concept and the idea that somehow, you know, we were trapped. So this is how these things come about. Now, it gets worse. And before I go forward, I'm going to just share some books that talk more about this. One book is called Gnostic and Historic Christianity by Gerald Massey. Yeah, Gerald Massey. Another book is called Gnostic Mysteries of Sex by Tobias Churchton. And then there's another book that I'm going to quote from today and grab some excerpts from. And this is a book that I mentioned when I was a Bible teacher, when I criticized the Catholic Church on their views of sex. And I went into the history of the Catholic Church and their views of sex, and I found a lot of foul ideas about sex that just got really out of hand. And let me show you here. All right, so there's another book. This is the book called Eunuchs for the Kingdom of Heaven, the Catholic Church and Sexuality. This is by a lady named Jutta Reinke Heinemann. And she is a PhD in Catholic theology. And she basically exposed a lot of the negative views of sex in the early church fathers' belief systems and it also their view of women. So here's some excerpts from the book. And just to just show you just how fucked up things got after this idea of not having sex got into place. So the early church fathers came to increasingly believe that celibacy and virginity were the ultimate stance one should adopt in the eyes of God. People such as Justin Martyr, Clement of Alexandria, which is who I just mentioned earlier, Origen, Jerome, Augustine, and Thomas Aquinas. Thus, Christianity developed a hostility towards sex and a hatred of the pleasure derived from it. All right? The likes of Augusta Hippo connected the transmission of original sin with sexual intercourse, or more precisely, sexual pleasure. So if you're having problems with sexual pleasure, like I mentioned in my last broadcast, this is where it's coming from, okay? It says, but even these idiots realized that someone had to have sex or else humans would quickly die out. Sex was seen as a necessary evil. So marriage was allowed, although not encouraged, since it was still better to live life as a virgin than worry about the human race. So if you read the Bible and I think 1 Corinthians, I forget the chapter right now, but there's Paul talking about, I would hope that you all could be like me, meaning living a celibate life, not having sex and not being married. But you can't. If you don't have that gift of celibacy, then you know you should get married, don't burn in lust, et cetera, et cetera. So here it is again, like it's just, it's all about the spiritual. This having sex and procreating down here and living down here, it ain't about this. It's about ascending to a higher level. And this is coming from Gnosticism, by the way. It goes on to say here, in fact, they even calculated how much one would benefit on reaching heaven. Virgins would receive 100% heavenly reward. Widows and widowers, because they stop having sex, would get 60%, and married people only 30%. Heavenly reward. So this is, you know, this is the bullshit that they out there teaching. So marriage and sex was begrudgingly permitted, but it was not under any circumstances to be enjoyed. And then here's one of the church fathers. They said, his name is Thomas Aquinas. He says, marriage is aimed at procreation, and therefore the man who loves his wife too passionately contravenes the good of marriage and can be labeled an adulterer. It's ridiculous. Here's another statement from Jerome. It states, the begetting of children is allowed in marriage, but the feelings of sensual pleasure, such as those had in the embraces of a harlot, are damnable in a wife. So if you start feeling too nice about your wife, your wife's pussy is too good, and you just loving on this woman and just she is so good to you. Oh, my God, you're in sin. You're in sin, man. This is crazy, man. This is crazy. These men were fucked up in the head. I mean, keep going. The likes of Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, and Albert the Great considered sexual pleasure as evil, a punishment, filthy, defiling, ugly, shameful, sick, a degradation of the mind, a humiliation of reason by the flesh, common, debasing, humiliating, shared with the beast, brutal, corrupted, depraved, infected, and infecting. And then even worse, they pushed all these descriptions on the women, because women were the ones that draw you to them. They're the ones entice you to have sex. You see their body, you see their face, and you know, so now the woman is this dirty object. And so this is where you get the whole whore Madonna complex thing, where the Catholic Church taught this as well. They teach that there's two types of women. There's a woman that's a Madonna who keeps herself from sexual urges. She don't practice a lot of sex, and she's only relationship-based sex, and she's not out here fucking around and just doing her thing. And then you have the whore who's just fucking everything that moves, she's a promiscuous woman and all that type of stuff. Okay? These concepts don't exist, all right? Most women are both. Women love sex just as much as men do, and it's easier for them to get it. And if they're free from any hangups or repression, they're going to get it. And unfortunately, in this society, because women are shamed for expressing their sexual appetites, they have to hide them. And so a lot of women pretend to be good girls. They dress a certain way in front of certain men, and they dress another way in front of men they know that they can have sex with without judgment. There is no such thing as a whore and a Madonna, okay? There's women that just want to have sex, and that's it. Let me keep going here. While the church leaders hate sex and everything surrounding it and still do, they weren't content to just live a celibate and virginal life themselves. They had to force their beliefs onto the rest of the world. And that's where we get all this shit right now. Everybody was told, from the peasant to the king, that sexual intercourse is reprehensible and evil, and that there can be no sexual pleasure without sin. Come on, man. Let me go on. It says, enjoying sex is forbidden. So is sex outside of marriage. Sex with pregnant or menstruating women is forbidden. And I've heard this from one of these deacons. I remember going to this men's meeting, and he said he couldn't have sex with his wife because she was pregnant. And I remember telling somebody that, and they said, that don't make no damn sense. All you do is lay her on the side. Yeah, she's pregnant, but you can still have sex with her. Where'd you get this idea from? The old Catholic Church. That's where you got it from. It's no basis. The woman didn't lose her sex drive because she's pregnant or that she's menstruating. And see, in the Bible, it talks about if a woman is on her period, that she's unclean. Because she's pushing out some eggs that weren't used through blood, she's an unclean person. This is all coming from these guys who don't like sex and don't like women. Okay, because of their old Gnostic belief systems. You're fine if you have sex with your wife when she's pregnant. You just lay her on the side and you slide in from the back and you spoon fuck her. That's it. A menstrual fuck is even better in some cases. I know y'all, oh, that's nasty as hell. It's going to be blood everywhere. You put a towel down, man. You put a towel down. Frankly, she can be very aroused at that time too as well. And you just slide in there. You slide in. If you want to put a condom on because you don't want to get your dick wet from all the blood and everything, that's fine. Some women don't even bleed that much. it's not a lot going to come out. All right? You can do whatever you want as long as it's consensual. I'm going to continue. It says older people are forbidden from having sex, as are people that are sterile. They just all up in your body. They're telling you what to do with your natural body. These people are fucking crazy. And he says, any sex where contraception isn't possible, such as oral sex, is deemed unnatural and forbidden. So that's where oral sex is a sin comes from. And of course, anal sex, it's not mentioned here, but that's unnatural. Then they go on to say something crazy. For the same reason, contraception is strictly forbidden. So if you do have sex and you don't want children, you're wrong for putting on a condom. Not that you're trying to, look, I'm trying to stay away from any STIs. I don't want to have children. No, you're wrong for that. You can't be wearing condoms. And this is a problem in the Philippines and many other countries where they're heavily Catholic and they have a high population of poverty. And it's mostly, you know, women with a bunch of children because they're scared to put a condom on because it's the fear of sinning against God. And so you got a bunch of single mothers with 4 or 5 kids where it's just, if they would just put a condom on, they wouldn't be in that condition. Those children can't be fed. There's not enough money. Ah, man, the mess that comes from the church. That's an issue in the Philippines, by the way. I follow the Philippines and, the women over there are just fucking. And they can't wear a condom because that's somehow sinful. Birth control is sinful. A condom is sinful. So it's coming from that church. All right. So it goes on to say any attempt to thwart the beginning of life is a sin against God. We don't want you having sex. So be celibate. But if you do have sex, you better have a child. Don't you be having sex just for fun. It goes on to say any ancient form of contraception called a coitus interruptus, which is the withdrawal method. Basically, you pull out and bust on the ass or bust on the stomach, is considered sinful. Another sin they said is when you have sex on the rhythm method. And I did this with my ex-wife, where you can time how you have sex to where if you ejaculate, it won't get her pregnant because her eggs are not there or they're not developed yet or whatever. And they said that's simple. Any way of preventing pregnancy is a sin. So if you're going to have sex, you got to have a child. And if you're not having a child, you shouldn't be having sex. This is what the Catholic Church was teaching. So, you know, it goes on. It says even making yourself sterile is a sin. It goes on to say masturbation is a sin. It says masturbation is a worse sin than having sex with one's own mother. This is what they taught. This is what they believed back then. It goes on to say in the 19th century, to protect women from this sin of masturbation, a solution the church supported was called clitoridectomy, which is the chopping off of the female clitoris. Basically, you're going to pull that hood back and take your little pearl and chop it off so that you can't play with it. And a lot of women, if they were caught masturbating, had their clitoris is cut off. And in some cases, it was mandatory to just chop off every girl's clitoris. Now, they don't do that anymore because that's female genital mutilation. But they still do it to males today in the form of circumcision. So they cut off the foreskins of the penis. That destroys the pleasure. Basically, because your penis is exposed, the glands are exposed to, you know, your clothing, it's rubbing against your clothing and everything like that. So over time, it becomes hardened to protect itself and you lose your sensibility to sex. And so you can't feel things now. They also talked about missionary as the only position that you can have. So it just goes on and on here. Many of the early church fathers that argued for celibacy and came to hate women were no strangers to sex. So here they are telling you can't have sex, but they messing around. So one guy in particular, Augustine, for example, lived with a woman for 12 years before kicking her out, but keeping their son. Unable to wait for his new wife in a planned marriage, he took another lover. He also evidently dabbled in homosexuality in his teenage years. So the hypocrisy, man. Just they telling you do one thing and they doing something else. So now, you know, for normal people, thoughts of sexual acts are erotic and pleasurable. But even thinking about them now, it becomes sinful if you're a Christian. So just the thought of sex, flirting, you can't even visualize a woman. It's a mess. But I just wanted to show you where the origin of this idea about sex and passion and pleasure and how it became forbidden came from. And of course, homosexuality, because shit, if sex with the opposite sex is sinful, of course, two men is and two women is just absolutely abominable. So the Bible says that. Of course, if you change your gender, you know, in transgenderism, that's fucked up. So that's in itself is foul. And there you have it, people. All right. That's the origin. It came from some Gnostics who could not understand and accept that the physical realm and the spiritual realm were connected and that they were both good places to be. This is not some jail cell that somehow some false god put us in. And now we gotta abstain from sex from bringing people here. That's just absolute bullshit. The drive for sex is so strong. It's in all of us. It's just we all want to have sex. And that's because that's part of being in this world, is to explore sex and to enjoy sex. Sex heals your body through orgasm, not only spiritually, but physically. Sex is creative energy. It's so much to sex, and I'm going to talk about that in later broadcasts. But for anybody who's had these ideas, masturbation is sinful, you know, sexual thoughts are sinful, we've talked about this before. This is coming from some bullshit, all right? You got to do your research and look at the history of where these ideas come from. You'll discover this is not logical. God is not responsible for this. These are warped men who have a disconnection with the spiritual, their souls, you know, the way the world works. And they've put so many burdens on millions of people over centuries with this craziness. And I'm so sad to be even, you know, a victim of that. And now I'm a recovering person from that. I'm healing from that. And man, that's all I got for you today. Till next time, like, share, subscribe. Leave me an email, neil@neilreal.com. I appreciate you listening to the end. Share it with others and just have a blessed day. And just know that nothing good is in religion. Anything you think is good in religion was borrowed from humanity. Okay?